From Odyssey, I'm Lauren Berry, and this is the On Deadline podcast, where you get a closer look at stories from our radio newsrooms across the nation. Today, On Deadline is taking America's temperature. You see, things are heating up here in the U.S. and around the globe. And not just politically. We mean it literally. Is it hot in here? According to data from the Copernicus Climate Change Service in Europe, it is. Earth experienced its hottest day ever recorded on July 21st, with the planet's average temperature hitting 62.76 degrees Fahrenheit. This new record left climate experts and scientists cautious, and they continue to warn about the dangers of a planet that just keeps getting warmer. And we didn't have to wait long for a new heat record to be set. Just one day later, on July 22nd, global average temperatures hit 62.87 degrees Fahrenheit. That's according to Copernicus. We are now in truly uncharted territory. And as the climate keeps warming, we're bound to see new records being broken in future months and years. Copernicus director Carlo Buontempo shared that with Axios last month. Not only has Copernicus warned that July 22nd was the hottest day in the whole post-industrial era, it also looks like it may have been the hottest day in thousands of years. That's according to climate scientists who study tree ring records, ice cores, and other paleoclimate data to better understand how the Earth's climate has changed over time. To some, this might seem like a problem for another day. But meteorologists are warning that the issue will start to impact us far sooner than we might think. Others say it's already impacting our daily lives. Minneapolis-based meteorologist Paul Douglas joined Odyssey to explain.
That's a pretty alarming stat to think that Sunday was the hottest day in recorded history.
Yeah, and then I think we broke that again on Monday. So, it's heating up, and a lot of people don't like to hear it, don't want to hear it. They're still in denial, but chances are your kids and your grandkids are not turning reality into, you know, a political talking point. I don't want to get off on a tangent, but I worry about my two grandsons, and you know, here in the United States, we're going to be in better shape. Whatever happens, and it's already happening. I mean, we're seeing more extremes more often. And if you think I'm making that up, just look at how much you're paying for insurance. Homeowners insurance. And that's because the insurance companies have to price risk into their premiums. I mean, accurately price risk. Otherwise, the insurance companies go out of business, and the insurance companies are fleeing states like California and Florida and others, Texas, because the number of these extreme events, mainly flooding, but also wildfires, they can't stay in business, so they don't write policies. So, look, it's good to be skeptical. I'm grateful when people keep an open mind and they respond to science and data and evidence and not political talking points. And the planet is warming up. We're going to be in better shape here in Minnesota, Wisconsin, than most of the nation. It's going to be a gong show for the Gulf Coast, Florida, California, Arizona, water, wildfires, air quality. So, you know, you can write it off as a hoax. It's not. It's happening. And we should come up with bipartisan solutions to reduce our dependence on fossil fuels and, you know, try to turn a negative into a positive. But our grandkids are going to ask, what did you do? Did you sit on your hands and shout at the TV or shout at the radio, or did you do something about it? So, anyway, that's probably not why you called me this morning, right?
I knew you'd have a thought or two about it, so I had to bring it up.
I've been talking about this ad nauseum since the 90s, and, you know, I got a lot of grief from a lot of people. Paul, you're hyping this. Paul, this is a Democratic talking point. No, it's data. It's data. And you don't have to like it, but it's happening, and actions have consequences. And as a Christian, you know, we're called to be stewards of God's creation. And so that's why I wrote a book about this, reaching out to evangelicals and conservatives to keep an open mind And there will be conservative solutions to this. I think conservatives should probably conserve. And so I've been saying this for 30 years, and sometimes I feel like I'm shouting into the void. But I think more people, especially younger people, they're not debating the science. They're not questioning PhD climate scientists because they watched a YouTube video and suddenly they know more than thousands of the world's leading climate scientists. They're accepting the science, and the question I get is, okay, what do we do? What do we do? First thing we do is elect representatives, the people who represent us at a local, state, national level, who accept science, who don't question the scientists and turn everything into a, you know, a conspiracy theory. The data is the data, and we should probably pay attention and listen to the scientists, because when we question the scientists, it often comes back to bite us in the butt. And we're going to get a taste of the heat here, nothing like what the East Coast, much of the South, and even the West has experienced. It's been too wet to be stinking hot. I mean, the really wet days, the downpour days, tend to be 10, 15, 20 degrees cooler than if the sun had been out. The only wild card is smoke. We're getting another influx of smoke from these Canadian wildfires, and the air quality may be a little hinky.
The last 13 months have been the warmest ever recorded on our planet. The world's oceans have been sitting at record levels of warmth for 15 straight months. Things might be getting hotter overall, but some places are literally on fire. Crews in the western U.S., for example, have been battling more than 100 wildfires in recent weeks. Earlier this summer, a study published in the Nature, Ecology, and Evolution Journal found that climate change has resulted in the risk of wildfires doubling over the past two decades. And these issues aren't just affecting the United States. They're impacting the rest of the planet, too. To share more on climate change trends, Matthew Cappucci, a climate scientist and meteorologist with My Radar Weather, joined Odyssey.
What's driving these temperatures, these streaks across the globe?
Well, it's a combination of several different things. For starters, we have several large-scale heat domes or sprawling ridges of high pressure. High pressure is like a magic force field in the atmosphere that brings hot, dry, sinking air. And that causes a couple things. Number one, when the air sinks, there's really no cloud cover. It squashes all the attempts at cloud cover, meaning more sunshine, we heat the ground even more. Dry air is easier to heat up than moist air, and so that causes additional warming beneath those heat domes. But the other thing, too, we have that background climate change caused warming. We're warming several degrees over the course of the entire century, and that adds up over time and adds up over time. And the other thing, too, the world's oceans are record hot. The Atlantic in particular is record hot. All that heat in the oceans is expressed in the atmosphere, too. So you have the combination of all these factors kind of tilting the scales to give us these extremes.
Are there parts of the world facing particularly intense heat?
Most definitely. It does tend to be the northern hemisphere right now. So, of course, northern Africa is seeing exceptional heat. They saw a heat index of 144 degrees in parts of the Middle East last week, where intense moisture off, I believe, the Gulf of Oman combined with temperatures that were well above 100 degrees, causing conditions that are basically equivalent to that in a sauna. But at the same time, the U.S. West Coast, too, is seeing significant heat, mainly inland. Of course, in the Bay Area, you have that cooler marine influence from the Pacific waters. But just inland, we're seeing temperatures several degrees above average, and it's all these little seemingly less important extremes that, you know, 4 or 5 degrees above average here, 4 or 5 degrees there, that add up over time. The other thing that's worth mentioning, too, you know, when we talk about average temperatures, it's not just the daytime highs, it's the overnight lows. And because of climate change, the warming world, we're adding more moisture to the atmosphere. That traps heat even more. And so oftentimes in recent years, we're not seeing overnight lows cool as much. So if we feel like it's getting hotter and muggier at night, yeah, that's one of the symptoms. And that's helping to get these records even higher.
How concerning is it to you that once that record was set on Sunday, then it was immediately broken the next day?
Well, I think concerning is a very nuanced word. Oftentimes when we see records, they do tend to be broken kind of in rapid succession, just because if you have, you know, one day that's really hot, it's easier to get the next day almost sort of given a head start of getting hotter. And so when we see these sort of extremes, they do tend to come in packs. That said, I think it's important for folks to note that there's no necessarily right or wrong climate, right or wrong temperature. What's concerning, though, to me, is that the rate of change of temperature, how quickly our atmosphere is changing, is outpacing our infrastructure. In other words, we're building to a climate we've had over the past 50, 100 years, but that doesn't look like what tomorrow's weather will bring. And so my big fear is that we're building communities that won't be resilient 5, 10, 20, 50 years down the road, and that's a big issue with climate change.
While the effects of a changing climate can be most prominently seen in the physical world, with melting oceanic ice, rising sea levels, an increase in violent storms, and more, it also has an impact on our mental health. To share more on the day-to-day impact of climate change and the effect extreme heat can have on us, Dr. Nathan Carroll, the chief psychiatry resident at Jersey Shore University Medical Center, joined Odyssey.
Doctor, thanks for being with us. So what kind of mental health issues tend to surface during the extreme heat like we're having this week?
Oh, that's a great question. Well, first of all, thanks for having me. I really appreciate the time to raise awareness of this topic. There are several mental health issues that we know are associated with elevated temperatures. Just listening to the weather report a few minutes ago, I felt my anxiety increasing, which is one of the known symptoms of increased temperature. Increases anxiety, increases in depression, irritability, difficulty thinking, and then other ways the heat impacts your mental health are through things like worsening your quality of sleep, worsening your energy levels during the day. So it's very multifaceted how heat impacts our mental health.
Is it especially a problem for people who maybe already have existing mental illnesses? Does it exacerbate them?
Oh, very much so. No, great question. Very, very much so. We know from literature that individuals with existing mental illnesses already have a predisposition towards difficulties with thermoregulation or their ability to maintain their internal body temperature. Social general anxiety disorders have been connected. Individual psychosis, dementia are known to have an elevated risk of death during very hot times. And overall, just chronic heat in general can be very stressful and exacerbate all sorts of existing symptoms of mental illness.
And even for people who do not have any existing mental illness problems, the heat can even get to them.
Oh, very much so. Very much so. So we know from literature that for every 1 degree Celsius that the temperature increases on average, the suicide rates increase by almost 0.5% in the U.S. So that includes individuals who don't have pre-existing mental illness. We know that things like aggressive driving shoot up. Again, that includes people without mental illness already. Things like cognition decrease during mental illness. Basically, the heat itself acts like a major stressor for our mind and our body, which makes functioning and which makes our distress tolerance decrease.
So I guess the big question, doctor, is what can we do about it? How do we maintain or improve our mental health during high heat like this?
That's another great question. And I would give general advice to everybody, mental illness or no mental illness. Stay cool, stay hydrated. Sometimes the signs of dehydration can be difficult to pick up. Try to get into areas with climate control. If you don't have AC, and many people don't have AC, going to places like the mall or a shopping center or a library is a very good idea. Everybody likes to get out during the summer, but avoiding times of the day like the right around noon is a good idea to stay cool. Now, if you do have mental illness, I would add recommendations onto that. First, I would definitely talk to your doctor about any medications you're taking. Certain medications predispose us to being dehydrated, to not being able to tell when we're getting dehydrated. They dispose us to not being able to regulate how much fluid we're taking in, so we don't keep track if we're drinking enough. So having that conversation with your physician is really, really important.
So how is this affecting us day to day? Considerably, some might say. Just look at skyrocketing insurance rates and health scares and even deaths. A recent analysis from S&P Global has found that home insurance rates are soaring across the country. Last year, 25 states saw an effective rate change of at least 10%. In 2022, only 6 had rate jumps that high. Texas, Arizona, and Utah had the biggest rate changes, all over 20%. Extreme heat brings extreme weather conditions, the kind that spur tornadoes and hurricanes and floods. And those conditions damage property, which leads to higher rates. And it doesn't seem to matter which insurance provider you go through right now. Progressive's rates rose more than 10% in 2023, while the year prior they only increased by around 3%. Similar results were seen with Allstate. Massive natural disasters can push rates up higher. And scientists say the likelihood of these disasters occurring becomes greater as climate change continues to evolve. As listeners know, we don't like to give you a problem without some possible solutions. So here are some simple ways that you can cool down your home, your neighborhood, yourself, and more. We can't solve the problem alone, but we can help each other get through it together. First of all, plant trees or park yourself underneath one if you have to be outside when temperatures soar. A canopy of green overhead reduces the temperature underneath by 25 to 40 degrees. Trees also move heat up and away from buildings, decrease the need for air conditioning, and improve air quality. But if you don't have room for trees, don't worry about it. Think about bushes, shrubs, and tall grasses. Those all have a similar effect. The EPA explains that greenery of every kind cools the area around it through evapotranspiration. I know it's a tongue twister, but it's a simple concept. Essentially, evapotranspiration cools the air by using heat from the air to evaporate water. If you're spending time outdoors, the EPA recommends wearing sunscreen of SPF 15 or higher. It also recommends drinking water and checking in on homebound friends and neighbors. Never, ever, and we mean never, leave a person or an animal in a car on a hot day for any number of minutes. And as always, tune in to your local Odyssey news station for heat alert information. This show is produced by Joe Heady, Christy Strouser, and by me. I'm Lauren Barry, and I want to say thanks for listening to On Deadline, Odyssey's serving of a top news story just for you. Subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts to stay informed.